We are really, really, really blessed. Amen. And I don't want to take any more time. We are so blessed to have some friends of mine all the way from Africa. I told you that this month we are so blessed to have men that are going to come and bless us. Amen. And next week we shall also have another wonderful, powerful teacher of the word. Bishop Jane Kariuki, she'll be coming to join us, even as we have our fundraiser. So we'll be sending up the message, and please invite people. This woman is mightily used of God. But anyway, let us shift to today. The man who is just about to minister to us is a friend of mine for so many years. We used to minister together in a ministry called Nakuru Happy Church. Well, I think he was married, but I was not married. We've served the Lord in different capacities, preached the gospel in open air meetings, and visited people from our church, our previous church back in Nakuru, with him many, many times. We've encouraged people, and let me tell you, and we were looking back and we were saying, it is worth it to serve the Lord. Amen. When I see him and his beautiful wife still standing. They have a big, big church in Kenya. I preach in their church in Africa. And they are doing a wonderful, wonderful work in Nakuru, Kenya. And it's amazing how God is just propelling them from one level to another. And so it's my honor and privilege to welcome Pastor Paul and Susan Mwema to the microphone to come and preach the word of the Lord. They also have a guest from around here, and they're going to introduce her. And it's what a privilege. Can you give him a hand as they come? Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Can you just wave? Thank you. I invite my wife to greet you, then we continue.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord again. Amen. I thank God for this opportunity of standing before you and before God to tell you God is good and to tell you God is real. And to tell you heaven is real and hell is real. And that's why we have come, so that we may make our ways ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the Lord this morning or this afternoon. He is my personal Savior. I thank him for having taken care of me since I gave my life to him, even up to this time. I want to thank Pastor Tony and his wife for welcoming us to Dallas. If it was not because of them, we would not have come to this place. I treasure them so much because we were in Kenya together, ministering together those days when they were youth. Yeah, they were all youth, small youth, and now they are ministers of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. I just want to encourage you with a small scripture, just very small, to read for you so that you will remember me. You know, the word is God's word. And once it is released, you will say it was released by so and so. Praise the Lord. Let's see in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, verses 15. Okay, I'll read. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing hymns and hymns, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Praise the Lord. So I will leave you with that word, that in whatever you do, do it as you are doing it unto the Lord. Even serving in this ministry, there is a purpose for it. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you. There's a friend of ours who visited us one time as a missionary, and she came with a team to minister in our church. And when I knew she was living in Dallas, I invited her to church so that she can enjoy again the Kenyan fellowship together with the Americans. Please, Brandy, can you come and just greet us?
Yeah, thank you.
Good afternoon. I greet you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I am so happy to be here, and I am looking forward to coming back to visit you all. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. I can also see friends of mine. I can see the man of God, John. God bless you so much. I can see Lawrence and Regina. God bless you so much. And many others that we have not met, may the Lord bless you so much. I know we'll be blessed. We'll be blessed, and the Lord is going to really touch us. I thank God for Reverend Tony and his wife, Catherine. As my wife said, we met many years when Tony had left school and he joined the bank. Catherine was where I was working. Maybe I was a teacher, so it's a long story. It's a long story. You see, it's only me who saw your pastor young. Nobody else saw him. So I know him from those days. His own parents are very good friends of mine, and we come from Nakuru. One thing unique about these people, they are worshippers. Brother Tony, you know, when we used to call him Brother Tony, when he takes the mic to sing, man, he brings heaven down. Wow. And then interpretation was so good, you know. And we really missed him when he came to America, but I thank God I can follow him there. The first time I came to America, he's the one who invited me and paid for my air ticket just to come and expose me to this beautiful country. I really thank you so much. You made me board a plane for the first time. And you know, I really thank God, because that day I boarded the plane. I wanted to have a discipline of somebody who is flying, because it's not a matatoo. So you have to be very nice. You have to see what they are doing. He told me not to put on ties and suits, because I was ready with a suit and a tie. He told me, no, just come casual, you know. And I boarded, and I sat near a mzungu. And whatever he did, I did. I was wondering, how do you feed when you are given food? Where is the table? Then I saw him open. I also opened. He took a magazine down there. I started reading. They went to the toilet. I also went to the toilet, because I thought there was no toilet. And there is nowhere in the air they would stop. You understand what I'm saying? I'm really serious. But I really thank God. When I came, he received me. I stayed in his house. That was the time when the second born daughter was born. And it was an experience. And from that time, my life has never been the same again. I come to America many times, and I really thank God, because he opened a door. Can I tell you, our next miracle is just with one person. The next blessing of you to destiny is just between one person. And if you connect with him rightly, you're going where you are going, praise the Lord. For you to meet President Obama, some of you need only one person or two to connect you. You just need that person, and you get when you seek. The Bible says, seek and you shall find. Amen. Let's pray for the word of God. Father, we thank you. We bless your name. We glorify for the word of God that is powerful. We bless you. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you use me to be a blessing, dear Lord, to these dear people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we really thank God for your family, your beautiful children. You welcome nicely. Slept well. May the Lord bless you. You never know. One day you'll entertain angels. Amen. And you'll never be left the same again. So I really thank God. You have a good pastor. We love him when he comes to Kenya. He knows he has a church. He has a room in our house. And he can live there as long as he wants. Amen. And I thank God he revenged when we came this side. So I really thank God. We came to Houston to see our son's family. We have two grandchildren which you have never seen them for the last, since they were born, and we were bonding with them, and we really feel good when going back again to hold children after almost many years before we held toddlers. So we feel good. I was telling Brother Reverend Dumia John, I'm feeling like you now. Because he's also a relative. He has given us his firstborn daughter, and we really thank God. They are doing very well in our church, and we thank God. Amen. Are you ready to hear the word of God? Yeah, the word of God, which I'm going to read today, is in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1, from verses 1. It's a beautiful story of a man called Elkanah. But the main character is called Anna. She was she's a beautiful story. Thank you so much. I really needed that. Lord bless you. Amen. Let's clap for this lady. She's good. So we read that story. But one thing I want to let you know. When you want extraordinary blessing from God, there must be an extraordinary action from your side. Amen. If you want big from God, you must do big things for Him. Amen. Sometimes we want little prayers to move big mountains to our lives. God is interested in sacrificial service. You see, sacrificial timing. You see, like when we say it is 11 o'clock to come to church, sometimes we don't take it serious. Let me tell you, I tell the church, we don't worship to wait for people to come to church, but we worship to have Him in our hearts and bless us. Hallelujah. So when you miss worship, you miss the real thing. Worship prepares your heart to know God. And if you are a person that comes to church when you feel like, well, today I woke up, you know, I have slight headache, I don't want to go to church. Let me tell you what you portray to your people, to your children, that God is not important and the church does not matter to you. You see, that's what they say. When they see you maybe checking on your car on Sunday morning, you are just there, we were looking just like an American, you know, the way you look like, and then you are just yawning, you know. And in Sunday, people wondering, why are you not going to church? You're telling them, to me, God is not important, and it doesn't matter to me a lot. Other things matter. Please change. Make church very important in your life, and you'll be blessed. So when you want to tap God's blessing, there must be a sacrificial and a higher step over. When you read this story, there was something that happened. Of course, the book of Samuel writes a lot about King David. And it highlights his exploits. How it defines him and his challenges and his pain. How they were validated by God when he became king. Praise the Lord. And today I believe our dreams shall come true. Amen. So, the Bible says in Isaiah 40:31, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Hallelujah. Not those who wait on politicians. Not those who wait on something. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall soar high. They will move above everybody because they waited on God. God delights to be waited on. God delights to be worshipped. God delights to be trusted. Bible says there was this man called Elkanah. He had two wives. One was called Anna and the other one was called Penina. Penina had children, but Anna did not have. I'm just going to be referring, but I'm going throughout the chapter and I will not take a lot of time, just the American good time. I'm not going to preach, like, you know, in Kenya, you can preach 2 hours and tell people, you know, we are not in a hurry. But here is America. But if you allow me, Pastor, allow me to preach like to a Kenyan crowd, like in Kenya, good. So that I don't get scared, I don't feel funny. Yeah, good. So the Bible says in verses 5, but to Anna, he would give a double portion, although... portion for the Lord for he loved Anna, but the Lord had crossed a womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had crossed her womb. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. Hallelujah. One thing we learn from this is that when God wants really to come big, he always comes late. He doesn't come when you need him, but he comes when you give up. Even when you read in the Bible, God does not answer tears. He does not answer complaints. You may come for a kesha and your prayer is, Lord, look at the way I'm suffering. Look the way you bless so and so. Oh, Lord, remember me. Why have you left me? God does not answer that. God answers the praises of his people. He's where he inhabits. When you come to him with a smile and thank him for what he is and what he can do, he'll listen to you. But the one who is crying, rolling down, complaining, comparing, God has no time for that. Hallelujah. So today, I'm changing your attitude. Anna had that problem. The Bible said, and her rival provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her heart, her womb. So it was year by year. When you read down there, it says, and therefore she wept and did not eat. Hallelujah. She did not pray, she wept, and she did not eat. And that was her problem year by year. Am I talking to somebody with a problem? Hallelujah. Who year by year you face provocation, you face adversity, you face failure, you face all these things. But I'm here to tell you, when God wants to come big, he always comes late. Hallelujah. He may not come when you need him because there is a statement you want to make to people. He will not come. He will not come because he came to the other one. So you want to rejoice together. He will not come. He did not give her children as he gave Penina. He delayed it. She was bitter. She was feeling bad. Hallelujah. She wept. She cried. It's as if God was not there. The thing is, the Bible says she went to the house. This went, so it was year by year. When she went up to the house of the Lord, she was going to church in the morning. She was packing her Bible. She was going to church. But she was provoked right in the house of the Lord year by year. So you can suffer in the presence of God. You can also suffer when you wait on God. You can also suffer in amongst the people of God. Amen. Do you have such a problem here? You may face you may face. So this lady was facing, Anna was facing barrenness. She had everything. She was loved. She had money. She had comfort. But she was facing barrenness, pain, despair, despise, scorn, everything. And every time she went, maybe she sat near some children. Maybe the parents would move her out and tell their children, no, move out from that barren woman. So she would go back home very painful, having been provoked. You have never seen a mad person like a woman who is provoked, who is despised, who is told our failures and our mistakes. I tell you, Anna was wept. She wept. She was bitter. She was disappointed. She was frustrated. She had hopelessness. She had despair and everything. The Bible says, verses say, then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Anna, why don't you weep? Why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? And why is your heart so low? And why are you grieved? Am I not better than 10 sons? This man was great. He loved the wife so much. I was telling some men in our church, if you want the best gift you can give your children is to love their mother. That is the best gift you can give them. It's to honor her before them. It's to love her. They feel good. Maybe you are like Anna. She was comfortable. She was going to church. before she faced provocation. She never knew her problem. But when she was told you are barren, you know, you were good. But all of a sudden, a friendship has gone sour. A sudden door has slammed before your face. An expectation that you had a lot of trust has just been cut off. A peaceful zone, a place that is suddenly became a war zone. Like in our country, we never had a lot of security issues. We used to go and enjoy, but now you have to be very careful. You have to be checked whether you are carrying anything, wherever you go. You know, all of a sudden, things are changed, but we know peace is coming. Amen. I love that turn to hate. A healthy friendship that suddenly gone dry and lifeless. A trust that has been betrayed. Am I talking to somebody who has passed this situation? Amen. You are not alone. The good news is that you are not alone. Please join with me as we discover how Anna reinvented herself. You can call my message Breaking Through Barrenness, whatever, if you like titles. There are a few things that God used as an avenue in dealing with God, with Anna, that she rediscovered herself. That inside her, there was precious things that can move mountains. Amen. One situation is God allowed an impossible situation in her life. God can take advantage of an impossible situation in our life so that he can show his great mercy and towards his children. Hallelujah. A miracle is not just an happening that you can do, but something that is so big that you cannot do by your hands. That's a miracle. And I said, when God wants to come big, he always comes late. Amen. I don't know your situation today, but really, in Anna's life, she was facing the reality of barrenness. And people were telling her, the worst thing is people to tell you your weakness. To tell you your failures and to tell you your limitations. In Mother's Day, you cannot celebrate. You don't have a kid. In Mother's Day, there are places you cannot go because you have a title and a label called barrenness. In some places you cannot go because you're limited over your education. If people call professors today, people with PhD and whatever, you are limited, you cannot go because you have a limitation. And people know this side is for professors, this side is for so-and-so, this side for so-and-so, and others are not there. You feel bad, you're not blessed. Anna, instead of going home rejoicing, she went home crying. Because our problems faced her every day. Hallelujah. If you realize, she thought, you know, this woman, she thought of barren, the thought of barrenness stole the joy and the meaning in her life. But God used the impossible situation to get Anna's attention. It is possible, then you need God. If your situation is hard, you need God. If your relationship is irremediable, then you need God. If you are in your situation beyond your control, then you need him. And then number two, she faced divine provocation. If you tell a woman, oh, your dress is nice, but your hair is horrible. Oh, she will hate you. Let me assure you. But one thing she will do, she will make that hair. She will not come worse, you come better. So when you may not sit on the same side the next Sunday, she will sit there and you sit there. She will make sure she avoids you. But her hair will be better than yours. Sometimes adversity sharpens us. It makes us go to school. It makes us do things that we never wanted to do. We enjoy it like that. But when we were told how we look like, we didn't like it. But we went further. What did she do when she was provoked? She continued crying, but one day she started looking on God. Amen. Then the irritations, verses 6 and 7, if you read, she faced provocation. Irritations in our lives may be God's way of provoking us to discover the very best in us. There is a song in your life. Until you are provoked, paka wambio unaimba kama chura. You try singing and you feel a frog in your... Then you realize, and then somebody tells, hey, you can sing. Amen. There's a young boy, Pastor Tony knows him, and it was George. George was an orphan. George was not a singer. But today he's one of the best singers in the country, a celebrity. That boy never went to school, doesn't know how to write. In fact, you know George, you taught him. Yeah. Today, he was provoked. He was told you cannot, be, even if you are an orphan, even if you are what, there is something in you that was good. Amen. Hallelujah. But he needed to be provoked. Passivity and mediocre is the enemy of change. Comfort zone is the enemy of change. You are still in that job for 10 years because nobody challenged you for another extra thing. Nobody told you because you lived in a place where things happened the same, where levels of the same, and people told you, you cannot be like that one. You can't. I came to tell you, you can be or what you can in Jesus' name. But many times God is using divine provocation to awake the interest in us, to provoke us for a change and to know he is a way maker. Had it not been for irritations caused by Penina to Anna, Anna may have not been interested in destiny because she assumed watoto wa Anna are also mine. But she was told by Penina, these are mine. They are not yours. Even if we share the husband, but the children are different. Please go and uzae wako. That was the pain she faced. Hallelujah. Haters can shape us. Don't push them away. People criticize you. They are not very bad. They shape you. They may be negative, but there is something that they make you learn. You write them a letter, email, they say, oh, you don't know how to spell. You feel bad because you are spelling your grammar. You are going to school, I tell you. The next time you are going to write a good letter to them because you don't want to make mistakes. If they never told you your grammar is wrong, you still remain there and a failure. And then one day you realize you are doing the things the wrong way. So love them. And then, number three, she came to a place of utter desertification, desperation. Desperation. Now, the Bible says, verses 8, Elkanah, her husband, would ask her, Anna, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more than 10 sons? She became not satisfied. She saw everything was wrong. Her husband was wrong. Her church was wrong. Her friends were wrong. Everything was wrong. She, even food and everything. She could not eat. Anna, her husband, would say to her, why are you weeping? God created us with a purpose, with a reason. We are not misfit. God wants us to reach our destiny. The craving in our hearts may be an indication there is something more that God wants to do. Have you woken up at 3 o'clock and you have no sleep? You tried sleeping, I tell you, it's the time to pray and ask God, reveal to me, why am I so disturbed? Yes, there is more in you. You cannot be satisfied and fulfilled unless you accomplish God's purpose in your life. There is a purpose. Jesus came for a purpose, to destroy all the stronghold, to set the captives free. You are here for a purpose, and until you fulfill it, then you shall face dissatisfaction in your life. You may be feeling the same longing with Anna. She may be beautiful, lovely, but she was barren. She had something bad. She was smart, looking nice, smiles, but inside there was a problem. Maybe you have a beautiful home, everything, but there's something that nags you. I'm not talking barrenness of just children.
There's a lot of things that we face in our lives. It can be a sickness. It can be hatred. It can be bitterness. It can be rejection that you are passing through and you don't know why you suffer rejection. You know, you come to church, you feel everybody hates you. You know, you have inferiority complex. How about you? You may be rich, but you are not happy. You may be serving God, but is that all you can do? You may be attending church, but you don't feel spiritually fulfilled. You may be saved, but how about your family and friends? There is always something that pushes you. Hallelujah. That is barrenness. You may be giving your tithes, but you don't see the blessing. You don't see it. You may be singing in the choir, but you still have a problem in it. There is no joy. After going home, there is a problem. God's first command to mankind, he said, be fruitful. Be blessed. Increase in every corner. Increase in every area. Increase in every situation. Then she came to a point. She realized it is not about me, my husband, Penina. It's about God. She became desperate. Verses 10 says, in bitterness of soul, Anna wept and prayed to the Lord. Hallelujah. Prayer is powerful. Hallelujah. Prayer moves mountain. When everything fails, prayer moves mountain. When shake up of the church come or ever your life, don't go fighting people. Go to your knees. You fight them until you don't know what happened. One day there was a senior pastor, an old senior pastor, prayer, and he started facing a lot of rebellion, you know, rebellion here and there. And then he went to God and he was praying. Every 3 o'clock he would wake up, go to church. He lived near the church. He started calling God, calling God, calling God. And God started fighting for him. There is a time when God will fight with you. And there's a time God will fight for you. He tells you, sit back. I'm going to punch them. Amen. And he punched people. He punched situations. He made it. And his way was through. The end of our strength can be the turning point to discover the mightiness of God in our lives. In bitterness of soul, the Bible says, verses 10, and she was bitter of the soul, and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. If you read verses 10, Anna arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now, Eli the priest was sitting in the seat of doorpost of a tabernacle of the Lord. Eli was the pastor of that church. And she went, she ate and she went to church. She said, I'm going for an overnight. Thank God the pastor was there. Thank you, your pastor comes to Kesha. Some pastors don't go to Kesha. They just direct them and tell you, just go and pray. Pray for me when I'm sleeping, when I'm eating and feeling good. But Haley was there. Hallelujah. She came to pray. She turned her heart from people. If your problem is talking about people, talking about your boss, your friends, your problems are attached to people. Anna, the Bible says she wept and did not eat, verses 7. But here, if you read verses 10, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. She changed. She focused her life to God. She said, you are the maker. You are the one who makes. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 1 from verses 4, that before you are formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. Children don't come from men. They come from God. Amen. He told Jeremiah, before you are formed, I don't know where he was, but before you are formed by your mother, your whatever, in her womb, I knew you and I separated you. And I gave you a purpose in life. Amen. Prayer is like birthing a child. Not little prayers, but prayers that you feel. Prayers that are included with fasting. Prayers that are agonizing to the Lord. In bitterness of soul, she wept and prayed to the Lord. Prayer is like birthing a child. Prayer moves mountain, and it has helped us as a church. It has helped us as a person. Hallelujah. I've seen my ministry move from one level to another. When we mobilize ourselves and call on God, we have seen God do great things. When we cannot reach there, God has reached there. When we feel we have come to the end of ourselves, God begins there when you call on Him. Anna gave birth to Samuel first in prayer before the baby Samuel became a reality. There is something that God wanted Anna to pass through. When you pray for something, hallelujah, if you are waiting for God to do something, put it in prayer. Don't say, I have enough money. Don't say, I have the world. But put it in prayer and tell God, I want this. Big things are born through prayer. Great children and men of God are born through prayer. You see, Anna prayed. Anna gave birth to Samuel first before the baby was born. Amen? Are you with me? I was telling, and I was thinking like this, and I'm going to tell the church at home, women, arise and pray for your children. Pray for them, even those who are unborn. I saw a woman praying for our grandchildren, even their wives, and they are so tiny, even their future. God is attacking our children because we don't dedicate them to the Lord. Pray for them. When they grow up, tell the devil, I dedicated them to the Lord. Hallelujah. The devil hates your children. He hates your firstborn. He hates them. He wants to discourage you so that God is not anything to you. Pray for them in the stomach. Touch it. If you're a husband, touch her. Tell God, I thank you for this child. He will grow big, blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a meeting here on a Saturday. Say we are going to pray for our children. Spend time to God crying for them. And He shall hear. Because His ears are not deaf. He will understand. Prayer is like bathing a child. The blessing bath and labor in prayer usually produce the best results. If you have something, a project, a company, anything that you really want to take a risk, first of all, give it to God. First of all, see, let it go. Let God have His way. So that when it fails or whatever, then God is with you. And when you are with God, He can never fail. The blessing bath and labored in prayer usually produce a result. Penina may have many children, but they can never be compared with Samuel, who was considered one of the best and greatest prophets that Israel has ever had. He dethroned kings and installed kings. Hallelujah. What a great son that was born in prayer. And then she made a vow. Amen. If you want a blessing, attach it with God. Don't wait for who great things without sacrificial. She made a vow. And she was very specific. The Bible says, and she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look at the affliction of your maid servant and remember me. Now she's praying. You know, sometimes you can come to pray and we just restart from Africa to America to where we tell God, bless me. With what? How is it? God wonders, how do I bless you? You are not specific. She was very specific. She said, if you bless me, if you indeed look to the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child. Very specific. When you come to God, come with an understanding. God does not like confusion. Come say, God, this is really what I want. Don't ask for other people's things. Don't ask us, Siombe, you know, in Jesus' name, I possess. You know, we used to possess suits of people. I possess that suit. You unajibariki. No, you don't possess people's things. But you ask God to give you. Amen. He will give you. She vowed a vow. She said, God, if you give me this, if you give me that, if you allow me to manage this, if you give me this, then, Lord, I will do this to you. He put God on a contest, and you can never defeat God. You see what happened? God started smiling to Anna. Because she started calling on him. She was desperate. Instead of always complaining, talking, telling people about you have problems every time, why don't you take time and pray to God before you release a little information to people? But we spend a lot of time talking, calling, telling them our problems, and we take 5 minutes only to pray. That is a problem. She made a vow to God. And she said, I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. No razor shall come upon his head. She made a deal and she told God, this is it. And I go away. Amen. Thank God she was in the house of God. And then after that, there was a word declaration. Hallelujah. Because she was in the church, the man of God had it. There was a declaration. When pastors stand and they declare words, say amen. Say, I receive it. When he says, God bless you, don't just take a Sunday kind of, lifestyle. You know, he always says like that. Take it very serious. There was word declaration. Number 17, the Bible, 17 says, verses 12. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. You know, there are people who don't believe in pastors. They go to any church. This Sunday they are there. This Sunday they are here. Wanaenda kwa Corino. Wakaenda Catholic. Wanaenda Salvation Army. Wanaenda, I'm a universal. I'm international. You are an orphan, a fatherless child. And nobody will handle you. Pastors speak to you. They pray for demons not to kill you at night. They pray for your children. They do great things spiritually. You are blessed. You are not in hospital because they pray for you. Amen. And the Bible says, and Eli was in the house. She prayed. And the Lord, she prayed to the Lord. And that Eli washed her mouth. Now Anna spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. Desperation prayer. You may not look normal. You may not look organized. You may not look civilized. Until people think there is something wrong. Until the pastor misunderstands you. Then he asked her, woman. Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk, my sister? Put your wine away from you. But Anna answered and said, no, my Lord. I am woman in desperate situation. She started telling her story to her pastor. She was tired to tell her husband. She was tired to tell people and explain because they have no answer. She turned to God. Amen. And she told him, do not consider me. But as a wicked woman, for out of abundance of my complaint, grief, I have spoken unto you today. Then Eli answered and said to her, go in peace, and God of Israel, grant petition which you have asked for him. Amen. Listen to that. You know, God will take you to a path. He's telling you, go to church. Listen to what the man of God said. Remember, messages of Sunday, Sunday will never be repeated next Sunday. And maybe that was your word. Don't miss. And when there is a lady in our church, she received every word that I preach every Sunday. And she was living one time almost in a near slum place. And she was just working as a small banker. She said, I started taking his word, and every week I'll go, that I'm blessed, that I'm more than a conqueror. She was promoted. She built her own house. She did things. She was promoted. She's a manager now. She did so much great thing. God blessed her so much. And sometimes she says, I want to start a multi-billion business because the Lord has blessed me in this church. And she said, God brought me to build. And that lady can sacrifice anything for the church. Because she knows, has it not been God on our side? And listening to the revelations that are led from here by the man of God, she would have never been what she is. When you despise the man of God, what you despise goes away from you. Amen. But what you receive blesses you. Amen. Then Eli told her and said, go in peace. And God grant you what you have asked him. And she said, let your maid servant, she said, amen. Can you say amen? Let your maid servant find favor in your sight. So the woman went away and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Amen. She felt she was pregnant. She felt the child was there. For the first time, she ate, and her face was no longer sad. Why? Because she has prayed. She has made a vow to God, and the man of God has sealed a request to God. And she went with confidence. When the pastor says, prays for you, go in confidence and use those words to against the enemy. They are your weapons. Eli answered, go in peace. And all we need to do is to hear God's promised word declared by a man of God and claim it by faith. Amen. The purpose of a church is to declare the goodness of God that the people may receive and be blessed. Even me, I'm blessed because of the words I declare, because they go for his word is like a true sharp edged sword that cuts back and cuts forward. So as you are blessed, I am also blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. As long as Anna received the blessing released from the mouth of Eli, the man of God, she claimed it by faith and began rejoicing as if she already received it physically. She went saying, I'm pregnant, I am happy, my face is good. And she moved on. That time she did not go to pray. She went. This is the kind of faith that God wants us to exercise in our daily lives. The faith based on the word of God and not our senses. She never gave up year by year. Some people have given up in Kenya. Some of them have withdrawn. Some of them have done things that are desperate because they have come to the end of themselves. But I tell you, when you keep trusting in God, he will come big in your life. Keep trusting. Don't compare yourself with others. Don't measure your blessing with others. As God's children, we must not be moved by what we see, feel, or hear. But we must stand firmly on the word of God that changes not. When God promised anything, he will do it because is God. Hallelujah. When you declare you are a son of Abraham, you are a son of Abraham. When you declare yourself you are not barren, you are fruitful, and your hands are blessed. Hallelujah. And then worship and adoration. No worship, no rain. Worship is the push button of God's blessing. The Bible says in verses 19, early in the morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord. You know why a pastor tells you to come at 11 o'clock? So that you may sleep and come late. In Kenya, you don't go to work at 11 o'clock. Unless it's your shift. If you go to 11 o'clock, you'll be sacked. But in church is the place where you are not sacked. You can never be told, do this. Because you don't want commands. Amen? But if you can only know the blessing which are there in moving with God. Early in the morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord and went back to their home in Ramah. Elkanah lay with his wife Anna, and the Lord remembered her. Hallelujah. She said, today was my day. My son will be born. Today is my day. I'm receiving healing. I'm receiving fruitfulness. Today, you will take that risk and move on that new job and start on that business. God is doing it. It may be too big, but God is speaking. It may be too much to handle, but God is speaking. Amen. One day, we were just wanting to build our church, extend it, and then somebody walks over and he says, I'm selling that plot next to your church. It's half acre. And we need 8 million Kenya shillings. Please, I give you 1 month and you end away. And then we were there. We have no money in the account. 8 million is something for a small church like mine. We said, how will you do now? God, do something. God, do something. God, do something. There's a property we had bought around 1.5 million Kenya shillings. And then we said, why don't we sell this and give him the money because it's far? Can we raise? How much can we raise? I tell you, we raised 3.5 million. And we told the man, take this money first. He said, oh, he smiled. So you can buy? We told him, yes, we can buy. We are rich. He gave him a check. He gave us the first title. Then we went to a bank. Told bank, please give us money. We want how much? We had already cleared another one. We had paid, and the bank will say, you only want money, come again. So now we came. We told, did you say we come again? Oh, we are here now. We want money. Say, oh, so you are serious. They gave us money, and we bought a plot that everybody was wondering. This small church, how can you do great things? Because our God is bigger than any mountain. He's bigger than any problem. He's bigger than any challenge and sickness that you can face. And you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. Hallelujah. They may overlook, they may look at your payslip forever and say you cannot get it. They may go and say, whatever you say, your credit is bad. But there is a God whose credit is ever flowing. And I belong to him. I will end under his wings. And I will face you with God. When David faced Goliath, he did not face him with his end. He prodded God, and he told Goliath, by the God of Israel, the God of us, the one you are despising. Then God came down. What are you saying? He's despising me? Yes, he's despising you. So what do you want? I want to kill him. God told him, go ahead. If David went like, I kill a bear, what? I'm going to slaughter you. He would have been killed and thrown in a dustbin. But he put God in front. Hallelujah. Put him in front. Face that giant in Jesus' name. They worship God, and then God remembered Anna. Worship will always make God remember you. God is excited by worship and desperate art. Life comes from God. So when we must worship him, all that we are doing, worship and prayer touch the heart of God. Then, as I finish, there is victory in conception. You have prepared yourself. You have given everything. You have prayed. And you have come to God and tell him, Lord, I have pain. Remove shame out of me. Remove shame out of me. Let me have a testimony, not a test. For the first time, I testify on Sunday that Samuel will be born soon. And that child, and you know what? One day, she took him to the church. Verses 25. She took him to the church. They celebrated. They slaughtered a bull. And brought the child to Eli. I think he had forgotten. He didn't know what was happening. Eli did not even care. He didn't keep following. Oh, you see, are you pregnant now? No, he did not. He didn't care. And then she said, oh, my Lord. As your soul lives, my Lord. I am the woman who stood by you here. Praying to the Lord. May you have a testimony. Hallelujah. May this year before ends have a testimony. Always she would come and in front of the church crying. You see, oh God, she would pray. She would pray. Always she was praying. She was singing Man of Sorrows. Always that was her song. Maomboleso. Maomboleso. She was singing that song every day. But that Sunday, she came to church. I think she had bodyguards. What is happening? I have a testimony. I'm holding. And she went to the pastor. Do you remember me? Pastor said, okay, you look young. What is happening? I'm that woman. You see, Eli did not tell her, go and fast 20 days, taking a bottle of oil and pouring on her. And stepping on her stomach and doing things and jumping. He didn't tell her this and give her an offering, a sacrifice. He just told her, go your way. I may the Lord grant to you what you required. Hallelujah. I'm saying today, go in peace. And what you have been crying for, God grants you. And at a time like this next year, you'll come with a testimony and remind me, oh, preacher from Kenya, do you remember me? Oh, you look different. And what is it? Oh, it's a child. What happened? Tell me the story. I can't understand. Because you forgot. She said, I am that woman for this, you know. I am, oh my Lord, as your soul lives, I am that woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. And you said I was drunk. You know, for this child I prayed and the Lord granted me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore, I've lent him to the Lord. Let me tell you something. And I'm a mukopesha in Swahili. I lend him to the Lord. And as long as he lives, he'll remain a rendo to the Lord. Hallelujah. It's yours, but Lord, I need to rent. So pay me some rent. Hallelujah. God is going to change your pain to a testimony. He's going to touch somebody here for a long time. People will say, your God lives. People will say, there is a God in ECC. Hallelujah. There is a word that happens. There is a time in our church, we prayed there was no job seeker. Everybody was working. Until anybody who doesn't have a job, nobody. Because God came. Hallelujah. One day he's coming to your life and your testimony will change. Your route will change. Poverty will never locate you. You move to other area. You move to other station. I stayed in his house, sorry, but a beautiful home. You know, I remember in Arlington, that small apartment, sometimes go and see where God brought you from. And now where I spend in his house, by the standards of our country, that is a big minister's house. And I said, wow, this Tony's house? Thank God you came to America. I thank God you came to America. Amen. I'm sure I can look back and say, has it been God on my side? I would have never been this what I am. I tell you, church, never give up on God. Dethrone self and enthrone him all the time. Never make God the second alternative. Make him first. When you make him first, you make you first. When you make him last, you make you last. When you make him last, he makes you first. He doesn't require anything from you. Just your heart. As I meditate on the life of Anna, I understand that sometimes God will let our own figurative land become dry so that he can lead us to a better green pasture. The problems that you are passing today is an indication that the Lord is taking you somewhere. Hallelujah. Our better days are tomorrow, not yesterday. Amen. If you looked for me where I was, please, I moved, I relocated. If you called, if you grouped me with a barren, no. I moved. Satan has lost my address and he can't find me. Amen. That is God. Can we stand and pray? Amen. Father, we bless you. Let's just a minute and thank God. I don't know what you're passing through, the pain, but God's purpose is for you is to be fruitful. I don't know what is it that challenges you, that stops you, that hinders you, that limits you from being blessed and breaking, seeing and having a testimony of what God has done. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. Just worship him for a minute. Father, we thank you. We bless your name. We glorify you. Oh, to Jesus, I surrender. Oh, to Jesus, I bless your name. Oh, to Jesus, I give you to you, oh God. Lord, we bless your name and we thank you, King of Glory. Thank you, Jehovah. I bless your name. I want to pray for somebody who says, I just want a breakthrough. Sometimes I feel God wants to bless me. I feel something. I feel a sound of a mighty rain. But when the clouds gather, already there is a rainbow. The sunshine shines and my hopes are broken. I want to pray for you. God, don't give up. Somebody's giving up. They say, no. I want to pray for you. I want to pray just because you are only one step to your breakthrough. You can lift up your hand. Not because I want to see you, but you are saying, God, it's me. You are desperate. Desperate people don't care what people say. Anna did not care. She prayed like a drunkard. She prayed like a desperate woman. She lost dignity. She jumped in the church. She walked like a drunkard. She didn't care. But from that day, when she left blaming people, when she left complaining and she looked on God, then God did something in her life. Thank you for lifting up your hands to the Lord. Thank you, King of Glory. I bless your name. I pray for my sister and my brother, them that know you are bigger than your fears, bigger than their problems, bigger than anything that they are facing, oh God. They lift their hands to you, Jehovah, because you can do it. And you can, dear Father, do it. I pray they'll face a turnaround in the name of Jesus. I pray, Jehovah, you do a new thing. They will come with a testimony before the end of this year. Yes, in the name of Jesus. They will see God do a new thing. They will see the power of God, dear Father, in the land of living. When you do it, King of Glory, you shall receive all honor and glory in Jesus' name. Say amen. Say, I'm blessed. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm above, but not under. I am head, but not tail. I'm blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless you. May His face shine on you. May He lift up His countenance on you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you. Pastor, welcome. Amen. Thank you.
Come on, give a hand to Jesus. Amen. Did you love it? Man, that is my message. Man, let me tell you. If there was nobody and Pastor Paul just stood here and preached that word, I would take it. And I would take it to the bank. Amen. I thought, you know, for a minute, how it must have felt to Hannah. You know, before, there was a before and after. Praise the Lord. Have you seen those pictures when people are trying maybe to lose weight? They take their picture with their big size, and then they go work out, and then they come out, you know, how when they're looking all sneaky and so nice, and they're posing, and they're taking, that's the after. Praise the Lord. Take your picture right now. Be going with your camera. Take things when you're going through. When you're crying out, take those pictures. When you're kneeling, take a video. Yeah? Take a video. When you don't have food, take a video of your empty table. Because soon and very soon, I don't know whether you're listening to me. Soon and very soon, I'm believing God for great things. I'm believing God for great things for you. And I'm also believing great things in this church. And I'm also believing great things in my life. Man, listen to me. If you can believe God for 20 bob, eh, $20, the same who multiplies money can give you 100. If you're believing God for 100, the same God can give you 400. If you're believing God for 400, He can give you 1,000. There's no special abracadabra that He does when He performs 20 that He cannot do for 1,000. Are you listening to me? Let me tell you, I'm believing God for extraordinary things, and I can begin to see God doing things in my life. Amen? Giving you divine connections. People that you never knew. My God, if I give you some stories. People that you never knew, you just meet with them, and they tell you, I just like you. And they've never known you. They say, I just feel something that I like you and I want to work with you. Be prepared. Amen? Be taking cameras and be taking pictures, because God is going to be doing things for you. Pastor Chi, it doesn't matter what you're going through, man of God. Start taking videos right now. Because a few months from now, you'll be looking down just like Samuel. I mean, like Mama Samuel. Mama Samuel was complaining and said, oh, I don't have a child, until the pastor thought she was drunk. Can you imagine? There are sometimes when problems come, and even me as a pastor think, what is happening now, this one? Yeah? The head is going out, but it is okay because God is aware. Amen? Hallelujah. What a powerful message. We want to give unto the Lord. We want to celebrate Him. But before we do that, I just want to bring our announcements. I want to recognize those are with us for the very first time. Lift up your hands. If you have not been here, lift up your hand. We would like to recognize you. Amen. Do we have any new visitors? Now, if you have not been here for about 2 weeks, lift up your hands. Yeah, because now the visitors are not really. Yeah, just stand on your feet. We would like you to tell us who you are, because maybe people never saw you. Amen. By the way, those are my special friends, as you see them. And they're also Pastor Paul's and Susan's friends. We all came from Nakuru. And I would like you to greet the church. Amen. Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord.